the land. For this evil world, it will not stand. For the truth has struck a blow, you must choose the way that you will go. For the time of this world is at hand. We must sacrifice and be as one. For the holy war, it has begun. Love of self and love of kind is just what we need to heal our mind. For the time of this evil world is at hand.
People are making war. What we need is a man who can understand that what our people really need is some land.
It is the time of great separation, and all the people must make a choice. So let the truth be our guide, but we must choose the righteous side. For the time of this world is at hand.
Welcome to the first Gondwana radio show. I'm James Lang. I am joined today by Nat Birchall from the Gondwana label. Nat's album is due out this month, June 22nd. The first release, Sending My Love by Matt Halsall, has been fantastically received, and myself and Nat are going to take you through an hour or so of influential tracks to Nat. So hello Nat, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you very much.
So what's the album called?
The album's called Akhenaten.
A very interesting name, the origin of which we'll come to over the course of the show. Do you want to tell us what track we've got playing first?
Yeah, this is a tune called The Time of This World is at Hand by Billy Gault, a tune from 1974 with the great Joe Lee Wilson on vocals, one of my favourite, all-time favourite albums.
So the track's from 1974, were you familiar with this when it came out?
No, not this one. I think I bought this about 1980 or 81. I happened to be in Paris in 1980 or 81, and I saw this guy playing the saxophone in the street busking, and I got talking to him, and he turned out to be the guy who's on this album, Bill Saxton, and he was actually playing at a club in Paris with Joe Lee Wilson, who's the singer on this album. So I went along to the gig, and well, it's one of those great evenings. But so I found this album somewhere around the same time, so I picked it up, and yeah, that was it.
Were you a musician at that point? Were you playing yourself?
Yeah, I'd been playing a couple of years. I started in 1979, so and this, you know, was really the kind of stuff I was listening to. So,
so was it jazz initially for you? Since, you know, since you were little?
No, not at all. The first music I was really, really into was Jamaican music, reggae music. I was into that from about 71, 72. And I picked up two or three jazz albums on the way. But then when I started to play saxophone in 79, I really tuned into jazz then as well.
So what was it about reggae initially? Was it the bass, the voices, the rhythm?
I don't know, there was just something about that music that kind of got under my skin. You know, there was a lot of the guys, the kids, I guess, then that I was hanging around with were all into soul and stuff, and a little bit of reggae, but I really sort of, something about the music kind of spoke to me. I always thought that a lot of my favourite reggae tunes just seemed to have some kind of, something deep and mysterious going on, something a bit more than just the notes, you know what I mean? Mm. So it kind of, that's what kind of attracted to me, I think.
A little bit of voodoo, maybe.
Yeah, or Obia or something, yeah. In Jamaica, but yeah.
So where did you grow up now? Where are you from?
I'm from Lancashire, a little village in the hills in Lancashire. that you once have heard of.
What's it called?
It's a little place called Brinskill.
Not heard of it.
No. No, I didn't think you would have.
For the Holy War, it has begun. Love of self and love of God is just what we need to heal our mind. For the time of this evil world is at hand.
A tune coming up called John Coltrane by Clifford Jordan. John Coltrane, big influence for you?
Oh yeah, absolutely, yeah, yeah. And it's also a big influence of a lot of the other people who I'm influenced by. You know, he was obviously a huge influence, not just the saxophone players, but you know, a lot of the Jamaican saxophone players who I used to listen to were obviously influenced by him as well. So when I finally got around to listening to Train, I could hear where these guys were coming from, do you know what I mean? So I kind of then connected to the source, if you like.
Okay, we'll let this one play. This is Clifford Jordan from 1973 on a label called Strata East, which we'll come back to, talking about that label. A track called John Coltrane from the album Glass Bead Games. Thank you. Right, this is the Gondwana Radio Show, joined by Nat Birchall. How did you hook up with label boss Matt Halsall? I know you played together. You played on his album, he's played on your album. How did that... What was the fruit of that relationship?
Matt asked me to come along and play the gig he had one night, and I'd heard about him and his music from mutual friends, musicians. So we had a chat, and he sent me some music, and I sort of had a look at it and listened to it, and turned up at the gig and played, and it just, you know, we really sort of clicked from the first gig. It was a really I really liked his music and his vibe, you know, his attitude to the music, where it was coming from. So it's really developed from there, and he's obviously he's been gracious enough to ask me to record this album for his label. Yeah, that's it, you know, it's a good working partnership. We're sort of heading in the similar kind of direction, so it works very well for us.
And at what point did Matt start talking about, you know, starting a record label? And I mean, it's a big venture.
Yeah, I can't quite remember, actually. I think, but Matt's always got lots of plans, you know, he's a very forward thinker. And apart from taking care of his music, he takes care of the business as well, so... He's got all kinds of plans for the music, not just the label. And so I can't quite remember at what point he mentioned it, but he had actually been recording before I started to play with him. So I'm only actually on one track on the album, because a lot of it was already done. So I guess he had all these plans already. But I can't remember at what point he asked me to do the album. But the guy just moves so fast, you know what I mean?
So, I Love Supreme by John Coltrane's up next, released back in 1964. Why do you think this tune, I mean, for many people that are not into jazz, they've heard of this tune, why do you think it's so well known?
Wow, that's a really good question. Well, if we knew the answer to that, or if I knew the answer, I guess I'd write one similar, and then, you know. No, I just think it's one of those tunes, it's a very iconic album. So it kind of gets heard and talked about quite a lot. But also this particular track, the first track, Acknowledgement, has got a particular bass line that was kind of unusual at the time, but kind of has a resonance into music that came a lot later. And as you said before about, you know, my interest in reggae music and bass lines and stuff, it's, you know, the tunes that I write, or have been writing, are very much based on... A lot of them are based on particular bass lines, and this tune has that that same kind of thing going on. So maybe that has something to do with it. I don't really know. Thank you.
Right, that was Acknowledgement 1964, John Coltrane from the album A Love Supreme. Next up, Nat, we've got Pharoah Sanders. Tell me a little bit about Pharoah Sanders.
Well, what can you say, Pharoah? He played with Train, of course. Very spiritual kind of player. The main thing about Pharoah is his sound, the sound that he gets. You know, there's no one who can... no one can get that sound. I mean, no two players sound alike anyway, but Pharoah's just got a real special sound going on. You know, you just hear one note and you know instantly that it's him. So, yeah, he's the man.
So what's the name of this track and why this one in particular for the show?
The name of this track is Kazuko, Peace Child. And it's just an example of how we can play... very simply, but the sound says it all. You don't have to play a lot of notes, and you know it's nice having the a slightly unusual instrument for jazz, let's say the koto. But you know you can fit him with any kind of musical situation, and everything he plays is always absolutely, you know, Pharoah, but it always fits perfectly with whatever instrumentation, whatever kind of music is going on. And this is just a real great example of that, I think.
Okay, next track up is from Leon Thomas. Tell us what it is, Nat.
This is the classic Creator Has a Master Plan. This version's from about 1970, 1971. He recorded it several times, once with Pharaoh, but this is from one of his own albums. Again, one of my favourite tunes. Incidentally, when the title track on my album Mark and Artem was, I called it that because when I was writing the song, I thought it kind of reminded me of a Pharaoh Sanders or Leon Thomas kind of tune. So, and I kind of have this, I feel this kind of affinity with the Pharaoh Akhenaten because the second half of his name kind of sounds a bit like mine. When I went to Jamaica many years ago, they pronounced my name Nathan, so it's like Akhenaten. So, so that's the meaning behind that one.
Did you find much music in Jamaica, live or recorded?
Oh yeah, well the music's everywhere in Jamaica all the time. You can't get away from it. So absolutely, yeah. Not so much live, although I did see. We went to a few dances and one of them was there were some live performers there, yeah. But, you know, I fetched a lot of records back as well, of course. But it's just playing all the time, you know, radios and the like, in cars and, you know, everywhere.
Right, this is Leon Thomas and the Creator Has a Master Plan.
Happiness through all the land. The Creator makes but one demand, happiness through all the land. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh.
The Creator makes but one demand: peace and happiness through all the land. The Creator makes but one demand: peace and happiness through all the
Okay, on to a little bit of Alice Coltrane. I was interviewing Alice Coltrane's nephew the other day. This guy called Flying Lotus from Los Angeles. Very experimental. He's on Warp Records. Experimental sort of hip-hop. And obviously he always gets asked about his auntie, so I didn't ask him. So tell me a little bit about Alice Coltrane then. She passed away, obviously, last year. But I think, up until then, she was still pretty active in the jazz scene.
Well, she'd become active again after a long time. I think after the late 70s, she kind of concentrated on her ashram. But I think it was her son, Ravi, who kind of brought her out of her semi-retirement to play again and record again. But I think she was a very overlooked musician, I think, at the time, especially. Because I think she kind of got to an area of the music that no one else had quite sort of tapped into in that particular way. And her music's very, very spiritually strong. In a slightly different way than Pharoah Sanders is, for instance. And she's got a very personal take on it, I think. Which was kind of neglected for a long time.
Do you think it was a little dark for people? Is that perhaps why? Or do you think that that's just superficial?
I don't know. I think that some people believe that she was kind of neglected a bit because she was in the shadow of John Coltrane, and a lot of people, I don't know whether they mean critics or what, but just sort of saw her as being Train's widow. So she was overlooked in that kind of sense. I know that the musicians certainly didn't think that way, but I don't really know how her records did sales-wise. But she doesn't get a lot of, or didn't get a lot of love in the jazz press or the jazz history books. But I don't think it's particularly dark music. I find it very illuminating, very, very colourful, bright music. If that's the sense you mean.
Am I right in thinking there's an Alice Coltrane track that you play out live? Is it with Matt Halsall's band?
There's a couple of tunes we play. There's this one and a track called Blue Nile. And we play this one more often, I think. But I've also played this one for quite a few years in my own band. It's one of those songs like quite a few of the tunes that we're playing that are just simple but very, very timeless. You'd never get tired of listening to them, or as a musician I never get tired of playing them. You can always, they're such open tunes and have such a simplicity but a kind of soulful spirituality to them that allows you to find different things within the tune every time you play it. This particular track being Journey in Satchidananda, of course.
You are listening to Gondwana Radio. I'm James Lang. I'm with Nat Birchall, doing a special show for the launch of his album, Arkanarten. Right, shall we chat about the album a little bit? 4-track album. Tell us about track number one, Nika's Dance.
Wow, what is there to say? The titles come after the music with me. I think that the titles for tunes are important. They're important to me, but I don't think I could actually sit down and decide to write a song about any given subject. So the music kind of comes in different ways, and it's not something that I can force or make happen, if you like. So I usually get a sort of germ of a song, and it develops. And then when it's finished, it will kind of make me think of something or sound reminiscent of something, maybe. So when I wrote that particular song, it seemed to me it kind of had a lilting kind of movement to it, kind of like a dance motion. And Nika is my 3-year-old daughter, and she really loves music and loves to sing and she loves to dance. And so it just kind of made me think about of the way that she kind of dances sometimes. So that's how that came about.
And she's pretty good at singing it too, from what I heard. Yeah, we're going to get her on stage.
Well, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully. Yeah, but her favourite track is actually Arkanarten, which she sings all the time. So I'm pretty pleased about that, you know. I do believe if children sing your songs, then you're onto something, I think.
The other two tracks are called A Prayer For and Many Blessings. Is there a religious overtone to any of this, or is it more of a spiritual vibe?
Yeah, it's not a particularly religious thing going on. It's a prayer for was... it just kind of feels a bit like... when I play the song, it just kind of feels like a prayer or a hymn or some kind of... that kind of thing where you're kind of connecting to some kind of spiritual source, I guess. So I was going to name it for someone, or but in the end I decided it was better just to keep it kind of open, so that it, you know, whoever listens to it can think of it as a prayer to whoever they want it to be a prayer for, I guess. And Many Blessings is a kind of twofold kind of thing, because it's Many Blessings is kind of like a greeting where you wish many blessings on people, and you know, I really believe in positivity and all that. And but also at the time I was writing the tune, I was kind of feeling the pressures of life and feeling a bit sorry for myself. But I soon realised that I do have many blessings, so you know, I kind of had to put that as the title of the tune.
So tell me about some of the musicians that are actually playing on the album. That
well, they're all great players, all young guys, of course. Like Art Blakey said, you've got to stick with the young guys, and when they get too old, you change them for some younger guys. But they're all very, very selfless players. You know, they play absolutely for the music. No one's on an ego trip or anything like that. And they've got plenty of technique, but they really know how to just play absolutely what the music demands. They're very, very sympathetic to, you know, when you play, everyone really listens and plays something that's that contributes to the music. And there's also the chemistry of those that particular group of guys, where they work together particularly well. you know, you can have a group, and as soon as you change one of the musicians, it completely changes the dynamic and the chemistry of the group. But this particular group works together extremely well. It's the same as Matt's band as well. I kind of stole them from him.
So given that this is a radio show that's not just been broadcast in Manchester, it's a worldwide thing, let's give the people an insight into sort of how it works. Obviously, Gondwana is a Manchester-based jazz label that's putting out new jazz to the world. How do you go about, you know, you've recorded the album. Would you sort of tour the album, or is it gigs in Manchester? What are your sort of plans for the next few months?
Well, that's a kind of open question. I mean, you know, we're happy to play wherever and whenever. It's a matter of, you know, the difficult thing in this business is getting the work in the first place. You know, we'd be quite happy to tour it, you know, all around the world, but actually getting people to book us is a different matter. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why musicians record, of course, not just to document the music or fix it in time and place or whatever, but it's also to, you know, have your music as a tangible physical thing that you can get out there to the world and get people to come to the music. But, you know, we're happy to play wherever and whenever, whether it's Manchester or, you know, the other side of the world. But, you know, we want to play to as many people as possible.
Okay, let's talk about the track that's playing underneath us from 1970.
Well, it's a tune by McCoy Tyner. It's a tune called Message from the Nile from his album Extensions on Blue Note. And this features Alice Coltrane again on harp. So it's just another example of her work. You know, the harp's a very rare instrument in jazz. And she found a way of using it in a very original but perfectly convincing way for the music. It doesn't sound like a novelty or anything like that. And McCoy Tyner, of course, was the Coltrane's piano player. He's on Love Supreme as well, of you know, most of those albums after 1960. Thank you.
So Nat's album Akhenaten is out on the 22nd of June. You can get it from direct from the source at gondwanarecords.com. You can also head over to natburchall.com to find out a little bit more about the man himself. The album will be available as a download on iTunes and all your usual outlets, and also in physical format from all good record stores. You can also, of course, pick up the first release on Gondwana Records from Matt Halsall, Sending My Love, again via gondwanarecords.com.
You listen to Gondwana Radio.
Okay, Nat, Archie Shepp.
Archie Shepp. This is a tune called Blues for brother George Jackson from his Impulse album, Attica Blues. Another all-time favourite album. What can you say? He's got a very vocal kind of sound, Archie Shepp, very distinctive sound. And just one of my favourite albums.
This has been the Gondwana Radio Show. Thank you very much for listening. Look out next month for another episode. We're going to finish with a track from Nat's album, and I'll let you introduce it, Nat.
This is the last track on the album. This is Many Blessings, which is going out to everyone who's listening. Peace.